You're listening to the Nature Connection Show on Natural Health Radio with Sarah Turner of Essentially Flowers Training and Moonflower Essences. Your weekly connection direct to the heart of nature. Welcome to the Nature Connection Show on Natural Health Radio. My name is Sarah Turner, and today I'm joined by Steve Johnson of the Alaskan Essences. Welcome to Nature Connection, Steve.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
It's great to have you back again. And I know when we spoke a few months ago, we kind of promised each other that we would talk again in the autumn, because I know that you're about to do some very important workshops with animals. And so what we're going to be talking about today is how we can help animals heal.
Indeed. It's coming up in actually doing a class in Brazil and then one in the UK in the first 3 days of November.
Brilliant. Okay, so for anybody who's not heard of flower essences before, we'll be explaining all of that to you as we go through the interview today, but our main focus is animals. Now, I think working with animals is, or having animals as a friend, or just having them as part of our lives, is something that touches many, many, many people. So actually knowing how we can help them heal is something that I think many, many people are going to be interested in. So maybe you could share with us, Steve, in your experience, why do animals get sick? Is it for the same reasons as us humans?
A lot of times I believe yes. And of course it differs with the kind of animal, but if we look at the more so-called domesticated animals such as dogs and cats that are spending a lot more time with humans, we're seeing more and more problems, and they're actually using the same names, you know, that they have the same diseases or the same symptoms as the humans have. So
yes,
I think with more and more domestic animals spending more and more time with their humans, and they're starting to pick up. And I think they're doing it in a service way. So they're trying to be of service to the humans, but they're just picking up too much of the emotional energy and in the dynamic of the family, and then they don't know what to do with it. So in my experience anyway, it's just a reflection of what's going on with the humans as well as the other animals, if there's more than one. And they just get to a point where they're overwhelmed, and they start to exhibit these symptoms.
Mm-hmm.
So in terms of treating them, it's pretty straightforward. You can just go in and start to peel the layers as we would with anybody else.
Yes, and I think to do this, we need to be able to understand health from a different perspective, from a more energy and energetic perspective. But certainly, absolutely, here in the UK, I totally agree that many, many animals nowadays, it's quite disturbing, really, how are developing physical conditions that we wouldn't really have dreamt animals would have, but they are, just like us.
Yeah.
So as many people listening here may well own animals, have them in their families, so how can we help them on a daily basis? Many people have rescued animals now, don't they? I mean, so many animals have rehomed and find very loving homes with other people. But often when we receive them into our homes, they already have had experiences which are very traumatic to them.
Indeed. The difficulty there's a lot of advantages for sure in adopting a rescue animal, but the difficulty is we don't know what's happened to them. And so they've got this story, you know, they've got this history before they came to us. And by obviously being aware of that and listening and just watching the animal once it arrives in the home and sort of paying attention to its behaviors, they're pretty, you know, they're very clear indicators. So if a person who has adopted an animal just sort of pays attention to what they're trying to communicate through their behaviors, such as, I know a big thing here in the States is the fear of thunder.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you have a big lightning storm. And so the dog will go, you know, racing to get underneath the bed or someplace safe. And so you wonder, well, maybe this animal's 5 years old. What happened when they were a puppy or when they were younger to give them that fear of the thunder or of loud noises in general?
Yes.
So it's just to sort of have an accommodation for the fact that, yeah, this animal's been out on the street. Who knows what's happened to it? And just to know that there are going to be things that'll come up on a daily basis, and then they'll also start to pick up what's going on in the family, of course.
Mm-hmm. So on a very general level, how can flower essences help? Because, of course, the Alaskan essences are flower essence or vibrational essences of all different kinds. To somebody who's listening who isn't experienced in using vibrational medicine, how could essences help? Let's say a dog who is very frightened of thunder.
Well, the neat thing about using essences with animals is that you're sort of making a link between nature and the animal, or the dog in this case. And this is something that's normal. All animals have a link with nature, and maybe it's been weakened for whatever reason, some sort of trauma and abuse that could have happened. And so we're sort of restoring that connection. If the human could be termed sort of the facilitator in that, the therapist is just saying, well, let's get you hooked back up to you know, your grounding or your connection to the earth, and let's get you hooked back up to connection to your habitat and to your guardian animals, because all animals have guardian animals. And just by restoring all of that, then the animal starts to do better, and a lot of these fear behaviors will go away. So generally, the essences are all representing that reconnecting.
Mm-hmm.
Possibility of reconnecting. And then you can get in more specifically and say, well, yeah, let's, you know, the Alaskan system has a lot of essences for trauma, for instance. And so you can say, well, yeah, there's clearly been some traumatic events in this animal's past, and so we can intuitively go in and see which ones come up and say, okay, well, that's a good trauma essence just to help lift that out of the memory, actually, the cellular memory of the animal.
Mm.
And then they don't have to keep going into that response.
Which they're going to do so much more readily almost than us as humans, aren't they? Because they do operate totally from their instincts.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, I really enjoy working with animals because they are, you know, what you see is what you get. There's no resistance to being treated. There's no getting in the way, and they just, you know, they welcome these helpers from nature, whether it's a flower or a gem or whatever, and then the shift happens very quickly.
Doesn't it?
And it's usually quite obvious to anybody that would be, you know, watching the process.
Yes, it can happen within seconds, can't it?
Yeah.
Whereas when us those of us two-leggeds take things, it can take a long time, but I've seen it certainly in the cats that I've had most experience with, they can literally change their behavior within seconds, which is very heartening. It's very beautiful.
Yeah, and experience. It's a permanent change too, which is quite nice.
Absolutely. So we can maybe talk about some of the essences that people listening could use before we say goodbye. But let's talk a little bit more about some of the daily problems that animals do have when they live alongside us. So we've talked about rescue animals and how we can help them very, very easily dissolve some of the trauma that's in their bodies. Obviously, with surgical care, with pets having to go to the vets and have operations, again, I've had experiences of supporting animals through veterinary stays and recovering from surgery, and it's helped enormously.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and one of the main reasons that animals will go to the vet is the spay or neuter operation.
Yes.
And I think some humans can be a little bit too cavalier about that. You know, this is a pretty significant event for an animal. And so there's essences, general and specific essences that you can give the animal before the operation, and then, you know, to recover from the operation, and just to help them get through that whole process without any lingering, you know, problems later on.
Yes, and as well, I'm thinking that your animal care essence would be very useful for both of these situations that we've spoken about already, which is your specific animal formula, isn't it?
Yeah, the animal care formula was actually created by a lady in Brazil who has a rescue facility and is very, very well known in, throughout the country, working with any kind of animals. She works with the zoos and the circuses and the different sanctuaries that they have there. And after using the Alaskan essences for 3 or 4 years, she shared that these certain number of the Alaskan essences kept coming up over and over again. And so we had a sort of an ongoing conversation over a period of time, and then, well, let's make that into a formula. So that's actually what came into that formula. And so it's a really good sort of general formula for any kind of situation. I often tell the shelters that they were working with to send each human or each family home that's adopting an animal from the shelter, to send them home with a bottle of animal care that will actually donate it to the shelter so that they can give it away.
How lovely.
And it would make the homing process is, you know, like 50-60% more successful just because of that.
So let's talk a little bit about the use of essences in animal shelters and the rescue centers, because there are so, so many of them all over the world, so many amazing people doing these jobs and helping animals in this way.
Yeah.
But also the spaces are very traumatic spaces, aren't they? There's a huge number of animals passing through these spaces, literally the rescue centres, but then there's a lot of traumatic energy. So using essences, both with the animals and as misters, I'd love to hear you explain a little bit how we can use misters, because having attended workshops with you, I've heard you share some experiences where you've used misters with animals, and it's like been really, really amazing when it's not always easy to get the essences into the animals' mouths because they may not wish us to come near them.
Right. Well, the sprays really work well in the shelter or sanctuary setting, because you can, you know, maybe the shelter has like a dog run where they can get outside and run around together, or, you know, get out onto some grass or something. And you know, the people working there need to go in and clean the spaces where the animals have been. And so a regular sort of daily use of, for instance, the purification spray can help just clear out the accumulation of that kind of energy, that these animals being picked up off the street and sometimes being in a really bad way, and they're sort of bringing that energy with them into the shelter, and then they're cycled through. So that kind of energy will just accumulate over time. So just the daily use of the purification, and then you know, because animals are all very connected to each other, and so you've got however many animals in the shelter, and then a new one comes in, or several new ones come in every day, and there's this constant shuffling of you know, the hierarchy of the animals that are there, and the different territorial things that come up with animals. So the sprays are really helpful just to keep the space clear and grounded and safe. You know, it's a sort of safe feeling for the animals to come in. And in the shelters where we have taken these sprays in and demonstrated how they could work, and the people will come back to us, you know, after a week or so and say, yeah, it's just, it's black and white. It's so much easier to do the job that we have here, you know, to do. And then you can get more specific with certain, you know, animals that are really in a bad way. And, but yeah, like you said, it's really handy because you don't have to touch the animal. You can just spray where they're living, where they're sleeping, that kind of thing.
Yes, it's, and I've often found that animals will usually prefer even an animal that you can actually go up and touch. You know, for example, a pet. And yeah. Sometimes they just prefer to have to have the choice. Would you like a mister or would you like an essence? You know, and like they will show you which one they prefer. It's very sweet.
Again, you can have a nice sort of general. It really doesn't take that if you have a large shelter, for instance. I know some of the ones there in the UK are quite large, and you can get around the whole thing, you know, in 5 or 10 minutes with the spray, and really do a lot of good.
Yes. So, well, I think it would actually be really useful to talk a little bit about the workshop that's coming up, and we can continue to talk as you tell us about the workshop, about how essences can help and how we can help animals heal. So you're running 3 workshops over the next couple of months. Where are they again? One in Brazil, one in Holland, and one in the UK. That's right, isn't it?
Yeah.
And can you tell us a little bit about them? Are they all 3 of them? Are they all the 3-day workshops? Are they all the same?
No, the one in Brazil is actually with the lady that I was speaking about that formulated the animal care. So we're going to just have a day where we'll be talking and just more of a question and answer.
Oh, you know, how
what
lovely.
What problems do people have, and mm-hmm. you know, how can we help them?
Mm-hmm.
But the one in the UK and the one in Holland, we're really excited because they're based on farms. And so we'll have a couple of days, in the case of the one in the UK, we'll have an introductory the first and the second of November would be more the introduction and going over all the information of, you know, why animals are getting sick and how we can help them and what's the protocol that we can use in these different situations. And then on the third day, we'll actually be working directly with the animals. So it's a way to put into practice immediately what's been learned in the first 2 days.
That's exciting, isn't it?
Yeah, and I, you know, I've given workshops, animal workshops in the UK before, and never had that opportunity. It was just, you know, sitting in a classroom. So I'm quite excited about going out to the Brook Farm, Jane Gilby's place in Essex, and working with her animals. She's got some Arabian horses, some sheep, geese, chickens, dogs, cats, etc.
Brilliant.
And so we'll just have, you know, each person or each group working with specific animals. And I did that last year in Holland, and it was really successful and kind of gives you a good feeling, you know, at the end of the workshop that actually, you know, put your knowledge to use and made a change in an animal's life.
Mm. And you've got a co-facilitator, haven't you, for these workshops in the UK and Holland? Tell us about the person helping you.
Yeah, Judith Polarens. She's Dutch, and she helped me with the class in Holland last year. And her background is she's actually got a degree in animal husbandry, and I think they call it animal something else. I can't remember the exact name, but she's worked for 15 years with a facility in Holland that is researching sustainable animal husbandry practices. And she will go to conventional farmers and talk to them about how they can maybe adopt more organic or sustainable practices on their farms. And she specializes in dairies, of which there are obviously quite a few in Holland. So she brings a lot of real scientific understanding and practical understanding of, you know, what animals need that are being, you know, used to produce milk and so on. And she's also an animal communicator, so she works with animals all over the world to, you know, just see what the story is and what they have to say.
Brilliant.
So, yeah, I'm quite excited to be offering the workshop with her.
It's very exciting, especially, as you say, on that extra day when people are going to be able to get the chance to communicate with animals themselves. So we're going to give out the details of the workshops so everybody knows how to access information, and the information will also be on the Natural Health Radio site. For people listening right now who maybe have a pet at home that they would like to know how to speak to more effectively, in other words, how to communicate with them, could you just talk us through just a couple of minutes of how we might do that? Somebody who would love to have a heart connection with that animal and doesn't know how to do that.
Sure. Well, there's two ways that I talk about that, or you know, in the workshops that I give, we're always talking about that topic. And one is just to watch the behaviors and to begin to understand what those behaviors mean. They are very direct and very logical. So, for instance, excessive barking, you know, just the manic behavior, is the animal really trying to communicate that things aren't exactly how they would like them to be, and they're just trying to express and get people's attention a lot of times. And what a lot of us do is we will then be put off by the behavior and, you know, why is my dog doing this, or why is my cat doing that? And so it's to be able to sort of shift that perception and just sort of like reading a book. It's like, what is my animal trying to tell me? And so that obviously requires some objectivity. But the other way in something that I practice in my own life is just the intuitive sort of meditative tuning in, and I found that a lot of times if I can sort of shut the mind off for a moment or two, and we call it actually spacing out, you know, where you're just not thinking about anything in particular, and you're just, you know, you have the intention of tuning into your animal or just listening, and a lot of times something will just drop in. It's a phrase or a picture or something will come, and then you can just, you know, write that down or remember it and come back to it later. So they're always communicating, and it's just for us a matter of listening and learning how to, you know, work with that information that's coming.
And that's what you're going to be doing on this workshop, isn't it, really?
Absolutely. You know, we'll have people tuning into these different kinds of animals. And I think the main thing, and I'm sure you found this in your own work, is just the trust of what people get. You know, well, I got this information, but I don't know if I should trust it.
Mm.
And it's like, yeah, trust it. You know, go with it and play with it and see, you know, what comes up.
It's not always what we expect, is it?
No, but in my experience, the animals were very happy to have a person listening, and that was, you know, the first animal I ever worked with was a Siamese cat, and it was very chatty, and it's like, oh, I'm really glad you're talking to me, and thank you so much for, you know, bringing the essences, and I had no idea that that was going to be the experience. So people have to sort of just suspend the idea that maybe they can't do it, or they're having, you know, it's a difficult thing to do, and just allow it to come and just have fun with it. And
yeah, which I think is why it's lovely to experience it in the setting that you're offering and on your workshops.
Yeah, and it's easier to do in a group. It's stronger, I guess, in a group. And with having the animals right there, so you have that whole circle.
Yes. And how lovely to have the animals volunteer like this. Well, yes. Okay, well, let's tell everybody how they can find out about the workshop. So the workshop is called Helping Animals Heal. It's a workshop exploring the healing relationship between animals, humans, and nature. So it's very focused around the Alaskan essences and how to use them with animals. So the dates are November the 1st to November the 3rd. So it's a 3-day workshop this year, 2014, hosted by a flarescence practitioner and very experienced animal practitioner, Jane Gilby. It's in Messing in Essex in England in Brook Farm. Shall I give out all the details, Steve? Would you like me to do that?
Sure. Yeah, I mean, people can contact Jane directly.
They can contact Jane directly, yes. The phone number is, so it's Jane Gilby, G-I-L-B-E-Y, and the number, it's a UK number, is 01376-572976. So that's 01376-572976. The phone number is also on the Natural Health Radio website, where you will have heard this interview. Jane's email is arab.horse@btinternet.com. So you can also contact Jane in that way. There is an early registration price of £350 if you book before the 30th of September. So there's an extra incentive for people to actually have a look and get that special price.
Yeah.
And what are the dates of the Dutch workshop?
That's later on in November, and that's actually a 4-day workshop.
Okay.
So we're spending 2 days with the animals instead of just one.
Uh-huh.
And it's interesting. It's sort of over our Thanksgiving, U.S. Thanksgiving, but they don't have that in Dutch in Holland. And those are, let's see, the 20th to the 23rd of November.
Okay.
And how can, a Thursday to a Sunday.
And how can people find out about that if they're listening in Holland?
They can go to our website, alaskanessences.com, and it's listed under my teaching schedule.
Okay.
And they can also contact, actually just pulling that up right now, they can also contact the facilitator in Holland. And I can't pronounce her name correctly, but English pronunciation is Jerry. And I will give you her contact information here in a second.
so many people in Holland, aren't they, speak such amazing English that I'm sure that they'll be able to follow this interview really easily.
Well, the class is actually being given in English.
There you go.
Because they speak English better than a lot of Americans do, in my experience.
Yes.
Sorry, this is taking me a bit here. So, it's Gerrie is how her name is spelled, and her number is 0317-840-362. So 0317-840-362.
Great. Okay.
And
well,
it's G. I could give you the email.
Yes, please.
g.huijts@cello.nl, and that's cello.nl.
Okay. I'm sure anybody listening in Holland will be able to follow that quite easily and to get in touch. Well, they sound like amazing workshops. I love the work that you're doing. It's such important work, and I share totally in your vision of getting the work of essences not only into more homes, but also into the shelters. And also, wouldn't it be amazing if they were used more in the farms as well?
Yes, well, thank you for this opportunity. And yeah, it's all an inspiration to, spread the influence, if you will, of nature, of the nature essences, and get them into these, obviously, the more difficult situations in the shelters and so on, but the essences lend themselves so much to an easy application to animals of any kind, herd animals, those living at home. And so, yeah, it's an exciting work.
It is, and obviously as well, it will be a great way to find out more about the Alaskan essences as well. So, brilliant. Well, thank you again, Steve, for sharing your time today. Thank you for all the work on behalf of the animals that you do. And I look forward to speaking to you again soon.
Well, thank you very much, Sarah.
You're welcome. Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
You're listening to the Nature Connections Show on Natural Health Radio with Sarah Turner of Essentially Flowers Training and Moonflower Essences. Your weekly connection direct to the heart of nature.